God has blessed me so much, reaffirming me in what we're doing. I was talking to Norma this morning, and we're basically going to center in on the Holy Spirit today. And so we will have covered God.
Yes.
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And long time ago, I gave y'all another sheet. You probably all lost it, but we're going to try to get into that next week. We're actually going back to Genesis 1. But it's so interesting. I had all of this planned. I had my notes out. I had what I was going to teach this morning. And once a month, I contribute to a seminary in Florida. And each month, we get a little CD that is addressed to the people that supports this ministry. And guess what?
What?
He got my text. I could have brought that sermon and played it for y'all this morning, and you would have been more blessed. He went exactly in every scripture that we had. You cannot tell me that's not the Holy Spirit.
Oh, my God.
And then I opened up my computer this morning, and there is a prayer I will be sending you. Mm-hmm. And it was thanking God for these scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Yes.
God does this all the time. Mm-hmm. It always amazes me, from being under Brandon and back to Randy, the three preachers that's been in this church. 9 times out of 10, I would not know what they were teaching. They would not know what I was teaching. Mm-hmm. I could teach a lesson on Wednesday, and they'd preach on it on Sunday.
Yeah. Yes.
And that is affirmation that God answers our prayers on what we need to be listening to.
Yes.
Also, we live in a goofy world. Have y'all figured that out? People think some of the dumbest stuff now. And they figure all this out, and they decided that they are brilliant. And I thought, you know, there used to be what's called common sense. There's no common sense anymore. It's not common. Anyway, but God in His blessings, you know, I was talking about the first scripture about, and let there be light. Everything that God has created and brought to reveal us to Himself teaches us about Himself. And now, on Tuesday night, before I teach on Wednesday, I am listening to a program which is called, It's the Power of Nature. And when you look at it, you think it's the power of God, but it is so good. And then about 3 days ago, I got to watch. You remember way back in the, you know, before most of you were born, 1963, when we went to the moon? They rescheduled the playing of that this week on PBS. And I sat and watched it as an adult. And when they went out, you know, to the moon, and then when they were starting back, they were traveling 24,000 miles an hour. That just blows my mind, number one. And so when they left the moon and they started back to Earth, you know, they always, just as soon as they pick up a picture of Earth, they show it. The picture they picked up showed the Earth absolutely like you had drawn a line all the way around it. Half of it was black and half of it was lighted. And you know, when we see it from standing on the Earth and look out, we have all the stars and the moon in place. And it looks light at night. But it's black, or it's got God's light. And I thought, that's just as clear as spiritually, physically, and every other way to begin with. When He said in the beginning here, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit hovered over the waters, and let there be light. And now this isn't the sun. You need to remember, when we're studying this, the first 3 days of creation are not tied to our time. Time is not created until the fourth segment or day. These are God days. And so these first beginning things, God has no time. We don't know how long it took all of this to go. But just watching these things, what they think figured out about all this blowing up, coming back together, shows a lot of power. And that power is, you know, they have figured out it's just nature out here bumping together. That power is the power of God. But that was so clear to me. And then last night, we're watching it again. And it shows how it was talking about the speed that the earth is rotating. And so we are basically rotating 600 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And we're not being thrown off.
It's a miracle.
It sounds like God may have been in the room of creation. But the more you learn about that, the more you learn about God, you learn from these people that have got them in pictures, and it shows us the power of God over what's going on here, the power over, and the deep. When you talk about deep with God, it has no bottom. It's deep. It's black until He says, "Let there be light." And God is the God of order. He is not the God of explosions. Why I'm saying all of this, if we've got little ones that watch you stuff that even on their basic level will come up with some of these brilliant ideas that the world is created by an explosion or something. You as a grandmother, you as a great-grandmother, be aware you may be able to clarify their thinking, because they're getting it in space from every direction. And so, keep up with these notes. These are being recorded. And then you can go back and look at them. And if you're one of your little toddlers or little elementary school kids or big elementary school kids, or your friend talks to you and said, "Well, what do you think about the Big Bang?" I think, "Well, it's blowing everything to pieces. What do you think about it?" This is important to know. And you never know what we're learning in here may be pulled up by the Holy Spirit. We're going to learn that this morning to help reaffirm the truth. It is vitally more important now than any time in our lifetime. That's your first sermon. So we'll go on. Okay, now then we're starting. We're actually with an outline. But in the beginning is what we were talking about in the beginning was 1 and 2. And it says here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Mm-hmm. We have God the Father, and this is God the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so we're centering in the third part of the Trinity that makes up God this morning. In Job 33:4, what does it say?
The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life.
Mm-hmm. Why are we all living?
The Spirit of God is in within us.
The Spirit of God made me, and God breathed within us the breath of life, and we became a living soul.
Yes.
So that ties. The Holy Spirit is the one that is constantly the in-between of us and God. He is the one that will work directly with us from the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Spirit, back to Jesus. And so we're learning this morning why it is so important we realize what all the Holy Spirit is up to. So turn to John 14. John 14, 15, and 16 is going to tell you more about the Holy Spirit than any part of the Bible. So if you want to go home and center in on that, that's where you need to do that. So we start in John 14 and verse 15. And it says here, this is John, this is talking from Jesus. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And now Jesus, this is Jesus praying to God for us. He continues to pray to God for us. When we pray, the Holy Spirit takes it to Jesus. Jesus intercedes with the Father. And they all three are working on hearing our prayers and answering our prayers. And God always listens to Jesus. So when we pray in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit takes those words, gives them to Jesus. He intercedes with the Father. We have a lot of power that's going through our prayers. And that's why we go in Jesus' name, but it only works by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." I, of course, listen to the people that knows Greek, which I do not know. But this helper word here is one exactly like me. In other words, I am giving you a Jesus that will be with you constantly. And he is with you, he said, and he may be with you forever. Once you come to the Lord in faith and he brings you to the cross and he forgives you of your sins and adopts you into his family, he's not going away. God is constantly with us from then forward. That is the spirit of truth. And so, he is the one that reveals the truth of God to us. He is the one that made sure that we have the Word of God. He is the one that reminded all of the apostles of everything that they did when Jesus was here and taught them to teach us and recorded it so we have it. All truth comes to us because it is revealed to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is his word. This is his seed. When we get to talk about seeds, it's important that you remember this is seed. This seed planted in your heart by the Holy Spirit, and he giving you the power to understand what all this is about, will bring forth faith, will bring forth salvation, will bring forth the part that we are connected with Jesus. So he is vitally important. Anyway, I'm going here and said, whom the world cannot see because it does not behold him, and that's God, or know him, but you know him because he abides in you and he will be in you. God is abiding in us, is with us. Jesus is in us, is with us, regardless. There's this man that was teaching yesterday that I was reading. He said, now when Norma goes home, Jesus is, and the Holy Spirit is going home with her. There is a scripture over in two or three more chapters over that Jesus says, it's good that I'm leaving. Because if I don't leave and I don't go back to the Father, I cannot send you this helper. And you know, when Mary and Martha were so upset because their brother was dying and they sent word, Jesus, come home. Our brother is going to die. And Martha, when she saw him, if you'd just been here, he wouldn't have died. And now none of us can say that to Jesus because he is constantly with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the only way you know that is because the Holy Spirit has given you the power through the Word to understand, because he said, I will teach you about Jesus. That's all, that's his work. Jesus came to earth to show us the Father. He went back to be our king, to be our high priest, to be beside God, and he said, now I've got to get back up there so I can send you the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be better off because now I will be with each one of you individually, and we can never be like Martha. You weren't here. And it amazes me, I can wake up in the middle of the night and Jesus is with me. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the power of God. So we'll go on a little bit further in the scripture here. Let's see, where did we get to? He abides with us, and I will not leave you as orphans, and I will come to you. Isn't that comforting? Mm-hmm, yes. Regardless what's going on, God will come to you. He is with you by the power of the Holy Spirit. He never leaves you. And God the Father and God the Son, all of God is ready to come to your individual needs. That is big. You talk about power. There's not anybody that can meet all your needs except God. And when you try to get somebody else to do that, whether it's a friend, whether it's a husband, whether it's a mother, whether it's a daddy, you're on the wrong track. Yep. They don't have it. They're not God. And you can't fix everybody either because you're not God. It wasn't what we think, I can fix this. Well, guess what? You might need to think about that again. So, after a little while, he said, the world will behold me no more. Jesus said, I'm leaving you, but you will behold me because I live, and you also shall live. That's the promise of the resurrection. He's fixing to overcome death for us. And so he said, don't worry about it. I'm leaving, but I'm going to live again. So shall you. And so then on 20 here said, in that day you shall know that I am. What is I am? God. In my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That moves us into the family of God. We are part of his family. And so then he said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will then disclose myself to him. And then it goes on, I'm covering a little more than what I've got written down here, where Judas and not Iscariot says to him, Lord, what then shall happen that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear are not mine, but the Father who has sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But, in 26 here, the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave to you. So we have here the Father, we have the Son, we have the Holy Spirit. But realize in 26 here, where we know about this and how we know about this is revealed by God through the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. And the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. Now, this is really critical, what he's talking to the apostles, because he promises them before he leaves. He says, now you go into Jerusalem and you stay there until the power from on high comes to you. So that's why they stayed in Jerusalem, and then the power of the Holy Spirit, it says, is poured out on all people. You cannot get to where you even want to know God unless God calls you, and that's by the power of the Holy Spirit that was poured out on all people. It's just like when Jesus came to earth, he came to save all people, but not all people are saved because not all people come to him. And so you have here how all of this is going to come about is when the Holy Spirit brings back to their remembrance. And I was hearing this sermon, and I can just hear it in my brain. He said, look at the difference in Peter and like what we have, 24 days. I don't know how many days have passed here. The last thing that Peter had done, a little maiden had come and said, oh, you're a follower of Jesus, aren't you? And she said, no, I don't know the man. And finally he says, no, I've never heard of him. And even curses and leaves. And then on the day of the Holy of the Pentecost, when Peter stands up and preaches by the power of the Holy Spirit, he has in his memory bank what God brings forth, probably the best sermon ever preached because he had 3,000 conversions. He quotes Joel completely. He quotes two of the Psalms completely. And he has a powerful sermon. And he said, you killed God's Son and scared the whole bunch out of their tree because the Holy Spirit was working on all people. Do not separate all this. They are one. I think that's so interesting because they are one, and yet you can see how they all work as God. And it's like us, where he says, you are to love each other. You are to be Jesus to each other. You are to be one in the body. And it is exemplified and lived out and shown to us by the Holy Spirit of how, you know, even in the prayer that John, in John 17, before Jesus died, he was praying to the Father. He said, let them be one with us and each other as I am in you and you are in me. You talk about power. This is the power of God that is within you. If you are a believer, God has given you this power and this desire to know him. And once you know about God, you would not know her unless by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we'll go on here. That is down through 27. Let's go to John 15. In John 15, 26 and 27. One more time. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. This is Jesus. And you will hear witness also because, and you will bear witness also because you have seen me from the beginning. And so this is Jesus one more time telling them, the Helper's coming. I will send him to you from the Father and the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. So all the time that Jesus was on earth, how many times when he got to it and he said, we'll ask the Father. I just do what the Father says. Always, Jesus never did anything without explaining to the people that he was working with. God is the Father. I am doing what the Father says. We will pray for the Father. We will pray the Father opens our eyes. We will pray all the time. You got so much power taking our words to Jesus, Jesus interfacing with God, and God the Father blessing us all the way through all of God, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that is another scripture. Now then we will go on to John 16, verse 5. Wouldn't hurt to start at the beginning. It says, these things I have spoken to you that you may be kept from stumbling. This is the last time Jesus is talking to his disciples in context. This is in the upper room. This is before he's crucified. And he said, and they will make you out. He said, now this is what I'm going to happen to you. They'll make you outcast from the synagogue. But an hour is coming for everything who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. And these things will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you, that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. In other words, you're just now needing to know what I'm going to be doing as I leave you. But I have been getting you ready for this from the very beginning when I was with you. He's talking to the 12. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? They tried that a little earlier, and he told them, have I been here so long you hadn't figured it out yet? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is God. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. He's sorrowful. They're sorrowful now that he said, we're in Jerusalem, and the next week I'm going to be dead. So they are desperately upset. What are we going to do without Jesus? But he said, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, this is what all he's going to be doing. Look at him. He will convict the world concerning sin. How many people do you know that's living in awful sin and thinks they've got it all doing just fine? We have within our humanity, or whatever that is, the ability to decide that we are just fine. And you don't talk to me about sin. I'm not a sinner. I don't sin, This is fine. There was one lady that was in a group with one time, and she heard the gospel for the first time. She was one of those hippies. And she said she was listening and decided to read the Bible. And she said, I was reading along one day, and I read the scripture, and I called my husband, and I said, we're sinners. She said, it had never entered my head that I was a sinner. Well, the Holy Spirit finally got a hold of her through the truth. Yep. You're not near as good as you think you are, dear. Anyway, we go on here. He said, I'm going away, and he, when he comes, will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. It is so important that we look at righteousness. I listen to sermons constantly. And so another sermon I was reading, hearing this week was, even our prayer that Jesus wanted us to pray, the first thing he asked, he said, "My kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And live, you know, this day, my daily bread and all that. And he wants us to be righteous. Righteous is more than being a witness for God. Righteous is more than being a grace that works with each other. All of that things that he has set forth an example for us to do is to bring us to be righteous. And righteous is right with God. None of us will ever perfect right with God. But when Jesus said when he died, he took our sins and nailed them to the cross. But he gave us his righteousness. We wear the covering by grace of the righteousness of God because we don't have it, but he does, and he takes our sins away, he nails them to the cross, and then he clothes us in his righteousness. That is your goal. That is what you pray for, that his kingdom will come on earth, that we will live as kingdom children. So when they see us, they'll see a power in us, a goodness in us, a peace in us, a love in us, grace in us, that is not common. That is showing the world what the kingdom of God should be. I even listen to sermons up and down the road, and the one coming in this morning was talking about, blessed are you, the poor in spirit, blessed, all that. And it says that we have degraded the word blessed. Well, bless you, dear. He said, blessed, according to the Old Testament and all the way through God's word, is blessed is when you are in fellowship with God. That God has pulled you into his presence a little bit. And that you experience God a little bit more. And so when you look at God and you say, bless you, asking God to come and be open to her, like to what Shannon said here, that he walks with me and he talks with me and he's there when I wake up in the morning.
I just wanted to say, I have an NIV Bible, and throughout the scripture, it refers to Holy Spirit as the counselor. Mm-hmm. I will send a counselor. Just really think, the greatest counselor of all is the Holy Spirit. To me, that just means a lot. I mean, why would you go to a counselor? You open yourself up to the counselor. You listen to them. You take their advice. You do what they tell you. You know, it just means a lot to think of it that way.
That's the interpretation of two different scriptures. One of them has helper and one of them has counselor. As she was talking about going to a counselor, how many times do people go to counselors and the counselors don't say anything? Well, what do you think about this? It helps you to get your mind straight by just verbalizing what you're doing. That's praying one for another.
Yep.
It is. None of us can be a Christian without the power of the Holy Spirit. None of us can live righteously without the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit is in here. How many more times in the week are you buried in this? Are you watching soap operas? At one time I had to watch As the World Turns. It may still be turning, I'm not really sure. That was when I had three kids, and the only thing I could do was sit down for 30 minutes and hope the world was still turning. But all of that is the power of the Holy Spirit, preserving the Word, putting you in a place to hear the Word, opening your heart to the Word, and it is nothing to do with how brilliant all of a sudden I have become. Because it has dawned on you, I don't know anything. Yes.
Oh, I'll talk loud. I just think it's amazing that if you look around the world, that America, we're so blessed that we have multiple Bibles in our homes and nobody reads them. I went antique shopping and there was, every store I went to the book section, tons of Bibles. But then the rest of the world doesn't have access, and they would love to read one, or they have it, but they have to read it in hiding. Mm-hmm. And we just take so much for granted. Mm-hmm. And we should really just be in the Word daily.
Yep.
We have to be convinced by the power of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm, who God is. That's why I started this class. Mm-hmm. It was in the beginning, was God, who is God. If you hadn't done a whole lot of time on meditating who God is in the last month, you're going to sleep on me. But we have got to realize the awesomeness of God, and that the Holy Spirit has preserved and made it, and you know, even bringing all of the people in our history to the point to where we could have it in our language, to we can have it to be printed. We live in an age where we should be absolutely absorbed with what has happened for the last 1,000 years, to give it to us in our hands by the power of the Holy Spirit. He worked through every one of those. So let's go back to Johnson, and we're in 16, and we started with verse 5. I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that he leaves in 8, and when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness. If you're going to be righteous, you have to know who righteous is. Jesus is the righteous one. Yes. He never sinned. He was completely right with the Father. He wants us to be the same way. And of judgment, we will be judged concerning sin because they do not believe in me. Everybody you nearly went into every day is lost because they do not know Jesus. They have not opened up to the power of the Holy Spirit. They may have heard it and switched off of it on the radio because they don't want to listen to that stuff. But you have listened. The Holy Spirit has opened your eyes. The Holy Spirit has shown you God. The Holy Spirit has given you a Bible. The Holy Spirit has given you teachers. The Holy Spirit has brought you to faith. And therefore, you are so blessed. And he said, I have many more things to talk to you about, but you can't bear them. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. I have seen Shannon grow. I have seen Sharon grow. I have seen Norma go. There are several of you, and Darlene, bless her heart, she stuck with me, I think, longer than anybody. Coming in, and Teresa, when she first moved here, short, was in my Bible class. And so I have seen what the power of the Word can do in lives of others. Praise God. Yes, ma'am.
You know, I know of people who have started reading the Word of God to disprove God, and they end up coming to know the Lord. And we know a young man who grew up in a Christian home, had a walk with the Lord, and now has been walked away from God, so to speak. And so he's spending all his time reading these other books by these other people. And I was talking to my son last night, and I said, you just need to tell Jesse to start reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. Even if he doesn't believe it anymore, mm-hmm, just start reading the Bible. Tell him, prove what God says is true. Mm-hmm. Because as he does that, and he opens the Word, and what it says, when comes, he will guide you into all truth. If this book is truth and someone's reading it, even to say, you don't exist, God, I prove it. Mm-hmm. You know, that Holy Spirit comes and works in their heart. Mm-hmm. And eventually, mm-hmm, you know, they grab hold of that truth. Mm-hmm. He is choosing to walk away, mm-hmm, from that. You know, mm-hmm, and I pray that, mm-hmm, God will
come. Well, we pray the Holy Spirit will open his eyes and draw him back. I pray for the Holy Spirit to open people's eyes. You know, the scripture that I think is the last verse I heard, and I drove into the parking lot this morning, is Psalms 1. Mm-hmm. Blessed are ye that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, mm-hmm, or stand in the way of sinners, but in your heart they meditate both day and night upon the Word of God. You will become like a tree planted by the tree of life, and you will grow like a flourishing tree. Mm-hmm. But don't listen to junk. We don't have enough time for junk. spend your time in prayer and study of good stuff. You know, you don't have to, the Bible, you know what I think about the Bible, so there's no use going there. But that scripture in Psalms has been one of my best scriptures since I was a teenager. And so watch what you're listening to. It may be somebody that loves you and has all the answers. Anybody that has all the answers, run! None of us have got all the answers.
Only the Bible.
Oh, yeah, God has the answers. Okay, let's read 13. And when he is, the Spirit of truth comes and guides you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. He's going to tell you what Jesus once said. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose it to you what is to come. And he shall glorify me, Jesus, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father are mine. Therefore I said, he who takes mine will disclose it to you. This is the Father, this is the Son, this is the Holy Spirit, this is God. Anyway, I think we're going to have to pick up Psalms 103 and 4 next week. And then we will continue on. I told you, I promised you, this is not going to be a fast study.
Nope.
There's too much to know. And the forces of nature is on the computer. If you can pick it up, you're going to get excited. So, here we go, baby.
Father God, thank you so much for bringing us here today to hear your amazing word that the Holy Spirit wants us to hear. I know sometimes that message is different for each of us, Father God, but it's your message that we all need to hear. Father God, we thank you for Ms. Jean that is led by the Holy Spirit to teach us these words that are going to guide us through the day. Father God, allow us to share them to those that are in the dark. This place right now is in such a dark times, and we just need to be that light that people want to see you, that need to see you. They may not know it, but we know that they need you. Father God, allow us to be that light. Father God, every single request that is in this book and every single request that has not been written, you have heard it, that you know how much we need of you. Because of sin, because of disease, because of all those things, Father God, we just need to lift your name on high and praise you for all the amazing things that you are doing in our lives. Allow us to continue to trust you, to know you, to seek you, and just to be a light to this dark world, Father God. That is just my daily prayer, that all will see you, that you would come and just be with us, your spirit that leads us, you, to God. Father God, we pray all of this by the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.